Chapter 5. A Visit to the Princess. The streets of Strelso were quiet now. Everyone was asleep, tired after the celebration of the king's coronation. Fritz was waiting for us at the palace, but when we arrived, he thought I was the real king.
"Thank goodness you're safe, sir," he said. "I was very worried about you. What happened to your head, Your Majesty?"
"It's only a scratch on my ear," I said. Fritz looked at me carefully. He suddenly realized it was me, Rudolf Rassendyll, and not the king.
"But where is the real king?" he said. "You went to get him."
"Quiet, you fool," Sapt said to Fritz.
Then he told me to get into the king's bed, and I obeyed. I was exhausted from the events of the long night, and I fell asleep immediately. Later that morning, Sapt and Fritz came to my bedside with a young gentleman. He bowed and said,
"I've got a message for you from Princess Flavia, Your Royal Highness."
"What is it?" I said.
"She wanted to know if the king was in good health after his coronation."
"Please thank her," I said, "and tell her I have never felt better in my life." The young man bowed and left the room. Fritz looked at us with a pale expression.
"Is the king dead?" he whispered.
"We don't think so," I said. "We think he's a prisoner in his brother's castle in Zender. They killed Joseph and left his body at the lodge." "A real king's life might be hard, but an imposter king's life is definitely much harder." Over the next few days, Sapt tried to teach me to act like a king. He told me what I should do and what I should know. He told me what the king liked eating and what he didn't like. He hated spicy food, but he loved cakes and ice cream. The chief minister and some other officials spoke to me for a few hours about matters of state. It was very boring and hard to stay awake and look interested. I explained that my ear was bandaged because of a bite from a dog. I hoped they might think the bite was hurting me, and that was why I couldn't concentrate on their observations. Then the French ambassador came. Talking to him was easier since he didn't know the real king. He was meeting the king for the first time. Finally, I was alone and could relax. I had a new servant, a young man who had never known the real king. He brought me food and told Sapt that I looked very tired.
"His Majesty must rest," he said. "A dog bite can be serious."
Fritz came to see me.
"We can't rest," he said. "We need to attack Prince Michael's castle."
"No," said Sapt. "If we attack the castle, he will kill the king."
"Aren't we going to do anything to help the king?" Fritz said.
"Nothing for now," Sapt replied. "It's too dangerous."
"We're in an impossible situation," I said. "I can't expose Michael's kidnapping of the king without exposing myself as an impostor."
"Only half of Michael's guards are in Strelso," Fritz said.
"That means the king is still alive," Sapt said. "The other guards must be watching him at the castle."
"You're right," Fritz said. "And they are cruel soldiers. They'd cut our throats if Michael told them to."
"Perhaps they'll cut mine," I said, suddenly very frightened.
"Yes, they certainly would," Sapt cried.
That was not very comforting to hear. What a difficult situation I was in. Suddenly, I missed my simple and easy life in England. But in a way, I was already behaving like a king. I now kept secrets, even from Fritz and Sapt. I had decided exactly what I wanted to do. First, I would make myself the most popular king of all time. And then, there was the lovely Princess Flavia. The next day, Fritz and I rode to the Royal Park. The people bowed as we rode past, evidently happy to see their king. Then I told Fritz to take me to Princess Flavia's castle. Fritz agreed happily.
He wanted to see one of the princess's ladies-in-waiting, Countess Helga. I was taken to the princess's living room, while Fritz remained with the countess. I had to keep the princess interested in me, but I could not fall in love with her. After all, I wasn't the real king, and she was promised to him. But it wasn't easy, as she was the most beautiful woman I had ever seen.
"Your Majesty, what has happened to you?" Princess Flavia asked. "You have become more of a gentleman since your coronation."
"Please, call me by my name," I said.
"I'm glad you're here, Rudolf," she said. "But you seem a little different. I can't understand it."
I changed the subject quickly. "Is my brother still here in Strelsau?" I asked. "Or has he gone back to his castle in Zender?"
"No, he is here," she said, frowning a little. "I received a message from him. He is intending to visit me today."
"Are you happy he is coming?" I asked curiously.
"I didn't say that," she said quickly.
"Some people want you two to be together," I said. "You must know that."
"Then they are stupid," she replied. "I don't care about the Duke."
"You never call him by his name, Michael," I remarked, even more curious to hear her answer.
"He's a royal prince, and therefore deserves my respect," she answered coolly.
Suddenly, there was a cheer from the crowd in the street. It was for Prince Michael. He was here with his two bodyguards, and he wanted to enter Flavia's castle.
"Are you going to let him in?" I asked.
"That depends on your wishes, Your Majesty. Have you forgotten that you are the king?" she asked. "I can't let him in without your permission."
"Oh, yes, I can't remember all these rules," I said, my face turning red. "Open the door and let my brother in." A minute later, Michael entered the house with his two guards.
"Brother," I said, offering my hand to him, "I had no idea you were coming to visit."
He thanked me coldly, unable to hide his feelings. Everyone could see that he hated me, and was furious that I was visiting Princess Flavia. If he had kidnapped the king, he knew I wasn't the real king.
"You hurt your head, brother," he said, looking at my bandage.
"Yes," I said. "A dog bit me."
"He might bite again," Michael said in a hostile voice.
"I'm sure he'll try," I said, looking him straight in the eyes. I congratulated Michael on his soldier's loyal greeting to me at my coronation. As I complimented him, he became even angrier. Finally, he said,
"Come, guards, we must leave. It makes no sense to stay now."
I returned to sit with the princess.
"Your brother hates you," she said. "He's a very powerful man. Please be careful."
"Of what?" I asked.
"Think what your life means," she said. And then she added, "Think what your life means to Ruritania."
"Only to Ruritania?" I asked, looking suddenly very serious. She smiled shyly.
"To your friends, too," she added.
"Friends?" I asked, desperate for her to admit her feelings for me.
"And to your loving servant, me," she whispered.
I couldn't speak. I kissed her hand and went out, angry with myself. I wasn't supposed to fall in love with her. She belonged to the real king, and I was just an impostor.